All right. I'm going to build the ideal Baptist church someday. I'm going to put one pew, just one pew, all across the back. And then when you get ready to preach, you just push a button and it rolls forward, okay? Yeah. All right. Good to be back in Adrian again. Good to be with the Rogers and with you, dear folks, and with the staff here. And David's engaged now, man. I'm telling you, miracles are happening everywhere. Amen. Good. And I believe I heard August 13th, David, next year. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Good. All right, everybody, clear your calendar now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. All right. Good. Well, I hope you have your Bible with you today. Miss Williams and I are so glad to be here. And in case somebody's here that hasn't met my wife, sweetheart, would you stand, please? This is my dear wife, who is such a precious help in our ministry and all over the world, and does such a terrific job of keeping me lined out and praying, and just such a blessing everywhere we go. And she'll be at the table this week. I don't say much about the table right now. Didn't bring a full array of all of our things, but hope that you'll get some. And then visit the missionaries' tables and pick up their literature and take it home and put it up. Put it up somewhere where you see it regularly. And pray for them. I hope you'll do that. All right, to start off with this morning, let's turn to the book of Genesis and chapter 18. The book of Genesis and chapter 18. Abraham was the only man that God ever called his friend. I think Moses was a friend of God, but God didn't say so. He did a lot of things with Moses and let Moses see the back of him, which he never let any other man do, or even see his face. You know, Moses died when he went up Mount Nebo. Did you ever think about that? You know, Moses, the Bible says, was 120 years old, and his step failed not, and neither with his strength abated. He wasn't a crippled old man trying to get around somehow, somewhere. No, it was as strong as he had ever been in his life and everything. And yet he dropped dead. He dropped dead at the top of Mount Nebo. You know why? Because he had been bothering God. I want to see your face. And so he got up to Mount Nebo and God said, "Hi, Moses." That's it. Because you can't look upon the Lord and live. So that was it. So anyway, here in this chapter, God has said to Abraham and Sarah, "You're going to have a baby." Now, he wasn't talking to some young married couple. He was talking to a woman 89 years old and a man 99 years old. And he said, "Y'all are going to have a baby." And Sarah was standing over in the tent door and said, like that. And you know, the Lord said, Sarah laughed. And she said, "I didn't." You know, reminds me of a guy, his wife was praying for him. And she said, "And Lord, he's drunk again." And he said, "Don't tell him I'm drunk." You know, and that's about the way we treat God, like he don't know what's going on, and he don't see our television screen, and he don't know what's on our computer, and you know, hey, God knows everything. God knows everything. See, I told him over, I preached at First Baptist Hammond a couple of weeks ago, Ms. Williams and I were there, and I said, we've got to quit downsizing God. You know, God's big. I mean, when you think of God, just think big.
True.
Yeah, okay, Brother Williams, that'd be all right. Now, I'm going to think big whether you do or not, okay? Now, think of the throne room of God. Here's God sitting on his throne. I think most people imagine some little throne room, maybe about like this auditorium or something. You know, when you think of God, and he's sitting on a mountain, the Bible says, in the north. And there he sits, and he's on his throne. And these seraphims and cherubims have six wings, the seraphims do, and they're flying into his presence at some speed unknown to man, maybe 1,000 times what we call Mach, which is just short of sound, which is 600 and something miles an hour. And they're coming in there at 1,000 times Mach. From way out here, 3 or 4 million miles, where they make their left banks. And they're coming in there, and they have two wings over their face, two over their feet, the only naked parts of their body. And because of his holiness, and we run around naked, think we're pleasing God. God help us today. They got the wings over their face and wings over their feet, and they're coming in there at about 2 trillion miles an hour, and they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy." There he goes. And there's another one right behind him. And another one. And another one. And another one. And another one. Till that one gets out there and comes back again. And that's all in God's throne room. Yes. So get your mind stretched a little bit about God, okay? He's big. I mean, with a capital B. I mean, ain't nobody going to take over heaven, okay? Yeah, and he's not worried about Peking. He's not worried about the White House. Somebody said, "You know, what about Mr. Obama?" I said, "God will outlive him." You know, I don't know if you like the president or don't. The only two kinds of people in the Bible, Republicans and sinners. No, I'm sorry. Publicans and sinners. I remember now what that says. Now, look, I'm talking about God.
Yeah,
amen. Now, I got to get you stirred up here somewhere about God. If we're going to reach the world, we're going to have God. I mean, if we're going to cover the mission fields of the world, we're going to have God. If we're going to go and penetrate these nations that already believe something, and let me tell you something, they need to believe in Jesus Christ, and that takes the power of everlasting God to bring somebody out of the pit of religion into the glory of his grace. We need to get our eyes on this God. Notice what it says here in verse 14. Sarah was laughing in verse 13, and Abraham was doubting. And the Bible says, God said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Is it too hard for God to turn back a man's body and a woman's body to the time of life when they can have children? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Is it possible for God to dry up the Red Sea and march 2.5 million Jews plus millions of sheep and cows and donkeys and camels? Hey, they had them all with them. The Bible said they were going to take their flocks with them and going to take all their animals with them and everything. And the amazing thing, the Bible says there wasn't one feeble person among them. Get excited. Do something. You know, if you'll talk to me, I can preach. I mean, just a little bit. You know, you don't have to just run the pews, but I mean, just... you know, or something. Okay, here we go. Thank you, David. Thank you. All right. Now, and so, is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me give you three things quickly this morning. Number one, is anything too hard for God in salvation? Can you name somebody God can't save? Think of that. Can you name somebody God can't save? Oh, you say, Brother Williams, you just don't know my granddad or my dad or my husband. No, I don't. But I do know of a woman named Mary Magdalene that had 7 devils in her. And he cast out the devils and saved her. And she became probably the greatest Christian in the New Testament. You know, is the one you think of today as a neighbor, a friend, or a relative harder than that? Harder than 7 devils infested in her body? Can you think of one harder than the Gadarene demoniac? who had 2,000 demons living in him. He could pick, they bind him up with these great big chains. He'd just sit there and pick them apart with his fingers. With his fingers. Ms. Williams and I knew a family, and their daughter somehow or another became obsessed and with demons. And she would, the tile, you know how strong that glue on the floor is at the tile. And that girl just sat there and pick them up like that with her fingers off of there. And on and on and on. I talked to Silas Fox. He was a missionary in India for 57 years. And he said, "Preacher, I've seen those people over there get down and worship the devil. And they'll chant and holler and go on and do whatever they do for a couple of 3 hours. And then," he said, "walk over to a boulder. I mean a boulder that actually weighed a ton. And it had a ring in the top of it. And stick their finger in it and toss it in the air 100 feet. And when it hit the ground, it just trembled all around us." Let me tell you something. Quit these nonsensical songs about put the devil in a box and they lock him up like a fire. God help us. What do we teach our children in our Sunday school? Don't get me on that. Okay. I got to give you one. Here's one of the favorite songs in Sunday school. Deep and wide, deep and wide. It don't say what's deep. It don't say what's wide. It don't say where it is. It don't say what's full of it. It don't say it'll do anything for you. It's just deep and wide. Then we see what kids are really spiritual. Who can leave out deep? And wide. And wide. Then we see who's really, really got it. Who can leave out deep and wide? Both. And and what's wrong with teaching our children the old rugged cross? Amen. What's wrong with blessed assurance? What's wrong with love lifted me? The little darlings can learn 40 cartoon characters in 3 minutes. They can play with these dumb games all day long, and they can't learn a song? Yeah, anyway, that has nothing to do with my message, but I wanted to work that in there. Now, look, God can do anything.
Amen.
He said, "Is anything." What did Jesus say? "My Father is greater than all."
Yes, amen.
Greater than all. You know what that means? That means if you took all the strength of every man in the world and have somehow or another put that strength together, it wouldn't be as strong as God is.
Amen. That's
right. If somehow you could take the mentality of every human being in the world and get it all together and put it all in one genius way, it wouldn't be as smart as God. In fact, you know what your Bible says? The Bible says the foolishness of God is wiser than the wiseness of man. Do you know what that word foolish means? What God didn't even bother to say is greater than the wisest thing man ever said. And God didn't even bother to say it. So he says to this woman, 89 years old, and this man, 99 years old, "You're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby." Then let me tell you something. You better order the maternity clothes because it's coming. You know, we have couples everywhere that come to Miss Williams and me in church after church after church and say, "Would you pray for us? We can't have babies." And we pray for them. And I said, "We'll pray for you to have a baby. Will you begin a nursery right now? Would you begin to build a nursery in your house right now?" Right now? I said, "We're praying right now, ain't we?"
Yeah. Amen.
Well, bro, no. Where's faith?
Right.
Where's faith?
Right.
You know, if we're asking God to let it rain, let's get an umbrella.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Yeah, okay, brothers. Now, look, this morning, this is God talking.
Amen.
And he says, this 89-year-old woman, this 99-year-old man, "You're going to have a baby." And he says, "At the appointed time this next year, it's going to happen. It's going to happen." And sure enough, one morning out of the tents of Abraham comes a wail of a newborn. Wah, wah. You know? And they begin to laugh. "Oh, you're the daddy." "Well, yeah, you're the mama." And they were having a time, so they just named him Laughter. That's what Isaac means, laughter. You know, how would you like if your folks would have named you Laughter, you know, and your mama comes to the door and says, ha, 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 come on to supper. You know, and this is really funny. You know, sometimes God's really funny in what he does. It's just amazing to me. And here's this little baby and born into this home that impossible. To have a child. But they did. You know why? Because God said so.
Amen.
See, and there's nothing too hard for God in salvation. He saved the Gadarene demoniac, 2,000 demons. He saved Mary Magdalene. He saved Paul, the man who hated Jesus Christ more than any other man that's ever lived. When Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, I was the chiefest of sinners, he was not rhetorically speaking. He meant that. Nobody that's ever lived hated Jesus Christ as much as Saul of Tarsus hated him. I mean, read it, Acts 9, verse 1. He couldn't take a breath. He couldn't take a breath. Without breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the Lord.
Right.
I mean, couldn't take a breath. The Bible said when he breathed out, it just came out. You ever work with a man that cusses like that? I mean, just every breath is cussing. Every breath is sports. Every breath is something else. That's the way it was. And that's what it was with Saul of Tarsus. And God saved that man.
Amen.
God saved that man. You can't think of somebody today that God can't save. What Jesus say in Hebrews 7:25? Wherefore I'm able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by me, seeing that I ever live. To make intercession. He's a lawyer, ladies and gentlemen, young people, that never lost a case.
Right.
Never lost a case. So we've got to believe this morning that God can save Africans. God can save people from Tasmania. God can save people from Australia. God can save people from Indonesia. God can save people from Cuba or Haiti. It doesn't make any difference if it's Honduras or some other place. Can God work in China? He can. Can God work in the Philippines? He can. Can God work, my friend, in Madagascar? He can. Can God work in all of the places around the world that you've never heard of? Myanmar, which used to be Burma, and so on and so forth. Can God save these people that are steeped in their religion? You know, a missionary from Thailand. Ms. Williams and I were in California about 3 or 4 years ago, and he was headed back to Thailand. And I'm telling you the truth, Ms. Williams can tell you, the man came out and stopped, and we were hooking up our motor home to leave. And he got right down on the paved street right there. And he said, preacher, I can't go back. I can't go back to Thailand. The darkness is so great. Unless you pray right now for me, I can't go back to Thailand. And this guy's a terrific, terrific missionary, and he's doing a great job over there. And I said in my prayer for him, I said, remember, help him to remember, dear Father, that it was darkness. And then the Spirit of God moved over it, and we have an earth to live on. And remember the 400 years of darkness just before Jesus came. And then the light of the world broke forth.
Amen.
Now, it don't get too dark for God.
Right.
It don't get too hard for God. You know, people say, well, we'd be in a certain place. People say, well, I tell you, Brother Williams, everybody here is just Catholics. So what?
Right.
You know, I mean, can't you see Peter and John? They're walking down the streets of Jerusalem one day. And John said, Peter, let's go down here soul winning. And he said, ain't no use. They're all Jews.
Right.
Huh? No. Is anything too hard for God in salvation? No. No. Nothing's too hard for God in salvation. Oh, good night. These clocks run fast here. Down south, they run slower. I appreciate that. No, God can say, you know, my daddy was as hard a man, I believe, as ever was. I mean, he was hard. There was 14 of us children, and my daddy just was hard, hard. He provided. It wasn't that. He loved my mother. It wasn't that. He's just a hard man. And you know, I got saved, and I'm the youngest of 9 boys. And he got me in front of my brothers, and he said, you know, he said, all you boys, I'm so proud of you're Williamses. You work for a living, and I'm proud of you. And he said, I'm ashamed of Tommy. He said, he's a charity case. He preaches, and people gives him money, and that's how he lives. I'm ashamed that he's a Williams. And you know, my daddy come hear me preach. He said, right back there where the Coreys are sitting, and I think I got pretty close to your name there somewhere. I knew it wasn't Japan. It's Korea, right? You know, my daddy sat back there just about where you are, and right in the middle of my message, he'd walk up here and look in the pulpit and say, I don't believe anything you're saying. And walk out. My dad was a hard man. Hard man. And I prayed for 12 long years for my daddy to get saved. And one night about midnight, I had the godliest mother than anybody ever had. And he woke my mother up about midnight. And he said, Mother, do you really believe what Tommy preaches is the truth? She said, you know it is. That's why you're awake. And my old daddy rolled out on his knees.
Amen.
And got saved.
Amen.
75 years old. He lived to be 95. And the last 20 years of his life, I was the greatest kid he had. You know, he'd say, oh, you got to come here, Tom preach. You got to come. He'd tell all of his business friends and everybody. And then he asked me to preach his funeral, which I did. It was wonderful. 900 something people at his funeral. He was well, well liked and well known in Scurry County, Texas. And a number of people got saved. You know, he said in a little card that he wrote me about preaching his funeral, he said, spend 1 minute telling them who Ross Williams was. And spend 59 telling them who my Jesus is.
Amen.
You know, nothing too hard for God. Amen. In salvation. And then secondly, there's nothing too hard for God in supply. Nothing too hard for God in supply. Oh, you say, Brother Wayne, we're going over to this mission field, or you just don't know how hard times are right now. Hey, God's not broke.
Amen.
He's not even looking for a financial advisor. Let me tell you, somebody said the other day, you think he's still paving? I'm telling you the truth now. They said, you think he's still paving his streets with gold?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, he really is. And they said, well, in the Bible, is it street or streets? Maybe he just has one street of gold and the rest of them are a little different. I said, no. You ain't got it yet. He's God! Huh? Hey, he speaks and gold appears. Huh? He don't have to invent gold. He just speaks. Yeah, he just spoke and the world was. See, he just spoke. He just spoke. You know, I have to give in just a little to these scientists because they did find ticks on the moon. I didn't think there was anything up there, but they were, and they were called lunar ticks. Come on, you'll get that, son, in just a little bit, okay? Look, God just spoke and the worlds were.
Amen.
God just spoke and there was a moon and there was a sun. Do you know how big the sun is? The sun is so big, if you took 1 million balls the size of Earth and dropped them inside of the sun, it'd still rattle like a baby rattle.
Yeah.
You think that's big? That's pretty big, isn't it? But there's a star called Betelgeuse, and it makes the sun look like the end of a pencil point.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's just a medium-sized star, they say. Ooh. Yeah. Look, can God supply? Yes, God can supply. God can supply in China. God can supply my friend in Africa. God can supply in India. God can supply all over the world. It doesn't make God any difference if it's Ireland or if it's England or if it's Romania or Hungary or, you know, well, it doesn't make God any difference. Poland, it won't matter God about Poland. Won't matter God about Afghanistan. Won't see, God can supply.
Amen.
Can God supply for me, Brother Williams? You know, people often say to me and Ms. Williams, do y'all have a savings account? And I said, yeah, boy, we got one you can't believe. It's in heaven. Yeah. You know, this one fellow died and went to heaven. He said, Lord, I want to see my mansion. And he said, no, I don't want to show it to you. He said, no, I want to see it. No, he said, I don't want to show it to you. He said, I want to see it. Well, he said, okay. So they rounded the corner of the street, and he said, there it is. And it was a tar paper shack with an orange crate for a door hanging on, swinging on two pieces of leather. And he said, Lord, is this a joke? He said, no, we bought material with everything you sent. Huh? Amen. We're funny. What would you live in if you were buying the materials? Huh? You know what the Bible said in the Old Testament? He said, my house lies in ruins, and yet your house has sealed ceilings, doors, windows, all the latest things. Huh? Mm-hmm. No. See, God can supply. God can supply. Like you can't believe. Ms. Williams and I visited with a widow lady. A little widow lady. And God sent her enough money to pay off her house. Yeah, you know, sent her enough money to live on and everything else. And it came, you've always heard about a rich uncle. That's really where it came from. A rich uncle. He died, and God killed him just so he could supply with his insurance policy. Yeah, you say, I think I'll cancel my insurance. Yeah. Huh? All belongs to God, doesn't it?
Right.
Huh? Yeah, okay, anyway. You know, God can supply.
Amen.
God can supply. God can see. God can save. God can supply. You say, but Brother Williams, you know, one fellow in Washington, D.C., he came up to me and he said, preacher, he said, you talk about double tithing all the time when you're preaching. He said, let me tell you something. That's okay for you, and it's okay for a lot of these people out here. He said, I work for the civil service. And he said, we get just a little bit of a raise every year, just cost of living thing. And he said, I am at the top, very top, of the civil service unit that I'm working in. I can't work anywhere else. This is it. And he said, I can't get a raise. I'm at the top. I'm making as much as you can make. And so it's these little bitty raises they give you for cost of living. And you're up here saying that you can't outgive God. You ought to give 20%, you know. And he said, look, I'm going to tell you, that ain't going to work for me. I said, look, if your government is bigger than your God, you got a problem. He said, okay, I'm going to tell you what. He said, I'm just going to start double tithing, and I'm going to prove you wrong. I said, do it, because God already took the challenge. God said, try me and prove me. Yeah, and so this guy did that. Just a few months later, he wrote me a letter, and he said, preacher, this is unbelievable. He said they came down to the place where I work in the civil service, and he said they created a new office. It isn't any different than what I've been doing, but it's got a new title. And they double my salary. Yeah. You know, God's really big.
Amen.
He really is big. You know, and if we could get a hold of that this morning, that God can save anybody.
Amen.
I mean, you can't bring somebody to God that He can't save.
Amen.
And you can't present a situation to God that He can't supply.
True.
That He can't supply.
Right.
You see, God can do anything. We were in our youngest son home, and he's 46, 47 years old, I guess, at that time. And he said, Dad, do you know anything about dishwashers? I said, yeah, they wash dishes. And he said, no, Dad, can you fix one? Ours is broken. We don't have the money to fix it. And my wife really needs it. I said, well, God fixes dishwashers. He knows all about them. And I just walked over and put my hand on the dishwasher. And I said, dishwasher, in the name of Jesus Christ, start washing. And I said to his wife, Jeannie, I said, just flip the switch. I said, it'll work. And she flipped the switch. And you know, and it worked for 4 years till they sold their house. You say, I don't believe that. I really don't care. Okay. Yeah. And here's the problem. Here's our problem this morning. My youngest son said to me, he said, Dad, why couldn't I do that? And I said, well, probably, Paul, you were real worried about what Jeannie would think of you if it didn't work. And I said, you're already defeated before you started. And ladies and gentlemen, here's our problem. We get down on our knees and we say, oh, God, I need a car. Oh, God, I need this. Oh, God, I need that. And Father, you know my baby's sick. And get up with no more confidence that it's going to happen than you did before you went down. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. If I ever wrote my name and a verse in your Bible, that's it. That's it. You say, preacher, what if the dishwasher hadn't worked? It did. Don't give me that hypothetical stuff, okay? Yeah. No, it did. It did. I've seen Ms. Williams' computer where it wouldn't work. And Ms. Williams say, computer, in the name of Jesus Christ, work. We're trying to get this done for God. And that old computer just starts working. It's a lot cheaper than these guys come out to your house $100 and $125 an hour. Besides, it's instant. Oh, well. Anyway, come on, preacher. I got to quit.